In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lepers were not part of the community. They were outcasts. They looked like it. Disheveled hair, torn clothes, and covered mouths all testified to their infectious disease. They were not healthy, but they were sick. They were not clean, they were unclean. They were a mess. And no one wanted to go near them. And so as they covered their mouths, when they saw someone come by, they called out, "Unclean." They could not participate in Israel's social life. They could not participate in Israel's religious life at the temple. Their disease had cut them off. They stood far away, and they were helpless to change their condition. There is little difference between this leprosy and the sinful nature that lives inside of you and me. We were born outside of the community of God, outside of His holy church. We were not healthy, but we were sick. Even though Mom counted 10 fingers, 10 toes, and Dad beamed with pride, we had an infectious disease that separated us from God and from the worship life of the church. The disease cut us off from God, and so we were dying. We were not living, but we were dying, and we were helpless to change ourselves. Even now, you still know full well that you are headed toward death, a physical death. That physical death is proof of this disease. But the only difference that we see is a big one. The leper saw his condition, whereas many today fail to see their condition. Everyone else was just like us. Everyone else looks the same. Some are a little better than others. Some are a little worse. And so as we stand here and look at ourselves in the midst of this world, we see a bunch of lepers. So it's useless to compare ourselves to one another. We may look a little better than others, but that doesn't change the fact of what we are by nature. A newborn doesn't look sick, unclean, separated from God, dead in sin, but he is. He is infected with that same sinful nature that you and I have. We are blinded by what we can see, and so we fail to see what we really are by nature. Lost, condemned, separated, unclean, sick, dying sinners. And do not think that we are free from this sinful nature quite yet. It cannot control us, but it still bugs us immensely. Daily you struggle against it. It's a fierce battle between your sinful flesh and the Spirit, so that you do not always do the things that you want to do. Your leprous condition reveals itself by that list St. Paul wrote to the Galatians. Listen again to what he says. The effects of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. So while you may not have done these things outwardly, you still have inwardly. Am I really to believe that you have never been jealous of another friend's financial blessings? Or that you never argued with your spouse? Or that you never selfishly worked to get yourself ahead in life, selfish ambitions, while forgetting about those who struggle on behind you, that they should just work a little bit harder like you did? The effects of the sinful flesh are obvious even as we look at our own lives. We fight against it. We must fight against it. For the moment that we stop battling against this sinful flesh is the moment that we begin to separate ourselves from God, more complacent with sin. And then that sin leads ultimately to death. So St. Paul warns, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And who of us wants to be separated from God's blessings forever? So what can we do? What can we do except cry out to our God for mercy and help? Mercy is the simplest form of prayer that we have. We throw ourselves onto our Lord and Master and his grace and merciful eye toward us. So as we see sin popping up in our lives, Lord, have mercy. As we see terrorism and hear of political strife, Lord, have mercy. As we feel helpless and at a loss for words because of all that has happened, Lord, have mercy. It encompasses all that we need for body and for soul. We cast ourselves onto our gracious Master, who knows far better how to deal with us than even we know ourselves. We don't have the answers. We can't overcome on our own. So what else can we do but trust in our God and his mercy? And he always hears our prayers. He always hears our prayers. At times we think that God hasn't heard because things in our lives don't change. He can feel so far away and we wonder where he is. Why hasn't he helped? We feel alone. But he didn't ignore the cry of the lepers, and he won't ignore you. He looked at them. He saw them. "Go, show yourselves to the priests," he said. They went and they were cleansed. He did not ignore them, and he will not ignore you. He looks at you. He sees you. God may feel so far away at times, but he sees your messy life and chaotic schedules. He sees your disheveled hair and your torn clothes. Things are not always perfect as you wish they were. He sees the sinful sores still infecting your body, leading you to words and actions that you quickly regret. He sees it all, every thought, every concern, every hardship. And then the ruler of the universe directs all his attention squarely on you to show you mercy. He tells you yet again that he is the one who took on flesh and blood to be your Savior, to suffer your curse and die your death. He was separated from God so that you might never be separated from your God. And he pours on you his boundless love in the forgiveness of sins. It is the mercy of Christ that is the bridge between God and you. It has reconciled God and you, so that you can approach the throne of grace with confidence and joy with any request and prayer. And so the Samaritan disobeyed Jesus in a sense. Jesus told him to go to the temple. He didn't go. Instead, he came back to fall down at Jesus' feet in worship and in praise. He thanked Jesus not simply for healing his body, but also for healing his soul. He saw Jesus as God. And that is why he came back, while the other nine kept journeying toward the temple. They failed to see that Jesus was God himself. And so it was better to be in Jesus' presence than to be in the temple. The reason that we feel alone at times is because we fail to remember where God is present to show us mercy. So we don't look for it in our lives and the changes that may happen. We don't look for him in our hearts even, though he is present there, because our feelings toward him can often change. We don't look for an ornate building, beautiful windows, wonderful banners, or a charismatic preacher, but look for him in flesh and blood. Look for your God in his flesh and blood, and you will always find mercy. So how terrible it is that many Christians imprison Christ's body in heaven. They are left only with Jesus' divine nature. But to us sinners, that divine nature of Christ is nothing more than a consuming fire, as it was on Mount Sinai. It cannot save us. We approach God through Christ, that is, through his human flesh. So if we desire mercy, we must also desire pierced hands, not glory. An open side, not majesty. His wounds are our comfort. In his wounds we find rest. His glory is in weakness. His majesty is in suffering. His strength is in humility. His mercy is in a cross. God hides behind his flesh and blood so that he might win mercy for you, win forgiveness for you by his cross, so that we poor sinners might enter his presence and fall down in worship and thanks. And so that is where we find ourselves today, in the presence of our God, our flesh and our blood God. You have not come here to listen to me talk. You have not come here to look at the windows or to see the golden vessels or the banners or because you like the carpet. You come here solely because here is where the flesh and blood of your God is present, in word and in supper. He still hides. God still hides behind that flesh and blood, lest we be destroyed. For who of us could stand before his majesty? That sinful nature still clings to us. But now God also hides behind bread and wine. He hides behind the voice of his ministers. He lives in glory, but he comes in weakness and humility to reconcile God and you, to bridge the gap so that you might fall down before God. So no longer are you a mess. No longer are your lives chaotic. No longer are you dying. No longer are you separated from God. You may still feel like you are, but in reality you are not. For it is God who is in control of your life from beginning to end. And in Christ you are holy. You are living. You are reconciled to God. God is with you and you are with God. And so who can harm you? What hardship or danger or trouble can divide you and separate you from your God? You are reconciled in Christ. Because of his great mercy shown to us, how can we thank him enough? What words, what actions, what gifts will rightly thank our God for all that he has done for us? Anything we can give to him pales in comparison to what he has done for us. It'll never be enough. He still receives them. He loves the gifts of his children, of his fellow heirs in heaven. But more than receiving from you, he wants to give to you. So thank him by receiving his mercy yet again. Thank him by falling down on your knees at his feet, with mouths and faith wide open to receive him yet again. The greatest way you can thank him, the greatest worship of Christ, is to receive his blessings yet again. So then rise and go. A better translation really would be rise and walk. To our ears, the word go means to go away from. Jesus is not telling this Samaritan to go away from him after he has just praised him for coming back to him. But rather, Christ is inviting him to walk along with him as he heads to Jerusalem to show the greatest love possible as he is lifted up on a cross. The same is for you. When you walk out of this building, you have not gone away from your God. He still goes with you. You walk in him, even as he now lives in you, and so those fruits of the Spirit are evident in our lives. God is with you wherever you may go. Walk with him in repentant faith, filled with those fruits of the Spirit, until you come back here to his house, to his supper, to thank him yet again for his mercy shown to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.